All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Warriors, Lakers, and news from around the association. Just going to get right into it. All-Star weekend has came and gone. The All-Star break is officially over as we have a game today. The Los Angeles Lakers will be hosting the Charlotte Hornets tonight at the Crypto Arena.
That's
at 7
right.
p.m. tonight.
Dalton Connect versus Mark Williams, baby. Let's go.
I was going to say, is this going to be a Mark Williams revenge game?
Is this going to be a Dalton Connect revenge game?
I hope so. I really do hope so. I think the whole trade not going through is a blessing in disguise for the Lakers. Like, yeah, they don't have a center this season, and that is concerning, especially given their spot in the standings. Like, they're in a good spot right now. You don't want to lose that. But I think long-term, Dalton Connect is going to be a really good NBA player.
Yeah. You know what? I have opinions for sure, but let's let Brock start it off, man, because I feel like we don't get to see Brock enough. What are your voice, man?
What about me? Don't you feel like Charlotte's just cursed? Doesn't the Mark Williams, like, Dalton Connect's a solid, I feel like in the long run, you'd want Dalton Connect over Mark Williams, right? Mark Williams is a short answer solution. Charlotte is just ever since Michael Kidd Gilchrist, is that his name?
Yeah.
That was like the tone setter of Michael Jordan cursing this team, and it's just never recovered. And that's how I feel. I feel like the Lakers were like, we're going to try a second, and then they tried, and then it didn't work, and they were like, meh, who cares?
Right.
I don't know. It feels like everyone wants it to be Luka's team, and it doesn't feel like it's Luka's team, right?
Yeah, and on the topic of Luka Doncic.
I'm so sorry I lost you guys. Give me one second.
Oh, it's all good. So tonight there's going to be no minute restriction for Luka Doncic.
I'm going to have to jump back in a second, guys. One second.
All good.
Tell me about his no minutes restriction.
I think it's good. I mean, he's going to probably put on a show tonight, especially like first game, you know, without the minute restriction in LA. I think the first game we saw Luka with the Lakers was kind of like a tease. Like, I don't know. I wasn't wowed by it by any means. And then second game, I didn't even watch, honestly. Yeah.
Isn't it weird that they got him and they're just playing like all the JV squads?
Right.
I mean, the Hornets are 15th, and I'm pretty sure the Jazz are 14th. Oh, no, sorry. They're both 14th. So the three games he's played is against two
bottom feeder teams.
Yeah. And he's still not like going off. And everyone's like concerned. I don't know.
Yeah, I think tonight could be the night where he, you know, breaks off a, you know, like a Luka Magic type of game. But you kind of hope to see that, especially against a team like the Charlotte Hornets. And like, they got some players that can surprise him too. Like, I think LaMelo Ball is going to be back tonight. Miles Bridges needs to be accounted for.
I didn't know they got Nurk.
Oh yeah, they did. That was an exciting trade deadline. A lot of movement.
7 foot 290. It would be nice for the Lakers.
Yeah. I'm surprised that all they're able to get in the buyout market was Alex Len.
Poor Alex Len signs one day and then they're like, you have to play. And he just gets exposed by Lori. Over and over and over.
Pretty tough matchup. But I mean, I don't know. Alex Len, like, he's one of those guys, kind of like, oh, I'm forgetting his name, but he was playing for the Jazz. I think he got traded during the deadline. But they're playing against the Warriors, and I'm like, wow, this guy looks like, you know, like this guy's giving us the business right now. Alex Len was one of those guys that would just give like certain teams the business, but like as a whole.
Very, very Sean Bradley.
Yeah.
Just big and gangly and like, you have it in you, but it's not always with you. it's there.
Sorry, right, what up, boys?
We got the full team here.
That's Austeezy.
Austin, what can you expect to see from Luka Doncic tonight now that his minute restriction has been lifted?
So I haven't got, I've been slammed in studio stuff all day, so I haven't got a chance to look at if LeBron's playing tonight or not. I know that he is day-to-day right now with his foot injury. So I think it depends on whether or not we see LeBron or not, of what we can expect from Luka. If I was a betting man, I would say if they play in tandem, I think because we're playing Charlotte, we're going to try to run the offense as much through Luka as possible, just to kind of set that tone so Luka feels like, you know, it's his team. Even though LeBron's playing, like, I feel like they're going to try to, like, let everything go through Luka rather than LeBron, which I think is great. If it is just Luka, I think him and A&R are going to – I guess what I'm trying to say is regardless, they're going to try and push through Luka, whether LeBron's playing or not. Yeah, sorry.
That makes very sense. Long-winded answer. Now, we were just talking how it feels like we all know that the Lakers are, you know, it's going to be Luka's team. Like, that's the guy that LeBron's going to be tossing the keys to, but it doesn't feel like it's his team yet.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the game where it's like, okay, Luka is here. Like, he has arrived as a Laker.
Yeah. I still think it's going to take a little bit of time for that. I don't see it happening in the next 3 games. But what I will say is that I think that if LeBron is able to play both of these games, it's going to help because our schedule is about to get ridiculous.
It's over pretty the next hard coming up.
We currently have the 4th remaining hardest schedule in the entire league. I believe we have Charlotte, then Denver. We have Charlotte, then Portland, but then we do. We have Denver. We have. I was gonna say if you have the schedule up, it's getting crazy. I know we've got the Celtics coming up. I know that we have the Milwaukee Bucks coming up.
And that's it's not be a very player. Forgiving schedule.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be ridiculous. So the more that they can play together, the better. And I'm just hoping, man, that Alex Len can catch his rhythm, because if not, it's gonna be a long end of the season.
Yeah, it's pretty tough sledding, especially with Jaxson Hayes being like the only center.
I think that Jaxson Hayes actually is going to benefit from Luka a lot. I think he's the winner out of all of this, because I even noticed LeBron now throwing a few more lobs. In the 2 games that Luka's been there, I've seen significant amount more lobs to Jaxson Hayes rather than just like a bounce pass dunk for him. He's actually like available in the dunker slot to go up and get it. And I think it literally started from game 1 at Crypto when Luka threw him like 3 lobs. I think we're going to see a better Jaxson Hayes. I think his points per game are actually probably going to go up by 2, maybe 3. But it's just, who are we going to throw the big bodies at? I know we have Trey Jamison III. I know we have Christian Coloco. I honestly would probably take, if we have to sign one of our 2-way guys to a full-time contract, I'm probably going to take Trey Jamison III only because he's like kind of yoked, you know?
Big body.
Yeah, big body.
260.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
That's a big boy.
I mean, I would not want him, like, I don't know, if like you make him mad, he's gonna Debo you. He's gonna eat your lunch. He's gonna fucking steal your bike. Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah.
If you look at this matchup, it's like, I feel like we, especially us, are the generation of Charlotte failure. But LaMelo against Luka is nice, right?
Yeah.
And then Brandon Miller is going to take either one of the white guys, Dalton, Austin, something. So, like,
Brandon Miller playing? I thought he was hurt for some reason.
Oh, maybe. I was excited about it.
Insert an unpopular name, but a name nonetheless, Miles Bridges.
Yeah. Ooh. That's the problem for y'all.
No names on the injury report for the Hornets that I can see. So Brandon Miller, he's a really good player. I think he's pretty underrated.
Yeah, I can completely agree, man. I definitely completely agree. I mean, obviously he's got a few things on the history books that I know he's not too happy about. But another thing I'm actually looking forward to in tonight's game, believe it or not, the Charlotte Hornets announcers.
Oh yeah, they call a good game.
Oh yeah. Those are the captains of what we like to call Hum Diddly D. I love that, man.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. Let's see. Anything else for this Hornets Lakers game coming up, Austin? That I want to talk about.
I think that. I mean, other than the highlight stuff, you know, Dalton Connect, Mark Williams. I think I'm excited to see Dorian Finney-Smith and Vando back on the floor. See how they do defensively. Sorry, I'm at a dog park now. You hear all these dogs barking. So unprofessional of me. I didn't want to miss the pod, though. I'm really excited about that matchup. And then lastly, I just want to see if the Lakers can come out of the gate and just get the job done. I know that I know that they're going to come at us in the paint, but if we are a contender and we truly are who we believe that we are, we should win this game by 20 points. Then the Lakers have a bad habit of just playing to their competition. So if we're going to start the second half of, or if we're going to start at post All-Star break on the right whim or on the right leg, whatever you want to call it, we got to make sure that we win this game in great fashion, as Kendrick Perkins would say.
That's totally fair right there. Yeah, I think you got this game against the Hornets tonight, and then the next game is going to be against the Trailblazers tomorrow. So I think those are the two games you kind of got to win, and then the schedule gets real tough from there. But like you were just saying, it all starts tonight. So
switching gears. I'm very excited about the Nuggets matchup for sure on Saturday, but I mean, that's another story for another pod. So
and we'll get there for sure. Just given the history between those two teams. But switching gears real quick, we just had All-Star Weekend in the Bay Area. The Bay hosted some events in Oakland and San Francisco. I did not attend any, but I heard it was good. I heard, you know, the Bay did a good job as hosting, and I just wanted to ask you guys if you had any takeaways from the festivities. You know, we had the new format of the All-Star game and some questionable dunk contest stuff. And, let's talk.
Roman, rip it.
Oh, the skills challenge. Wow. I don't know if that or the 3-point contest was a bigger waste of time.
Oh man.
Like the skills challenge was what, an excuse to make fun of Chris Paul and his nose being in the rule book all the time. Like,
I thought that was so genius though. Like when Wemby just started chucking the shots up, I'm like, oh my God, that's genius.
Yeah.
If you would say someone cheated in the skills competition and it was one NBA player, you'd say Chris Paul, right?
That'd be like 10 out of 10 times.
100. Yeah. It's just who he is.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. That and then Draymond Green botching the final round. Like, Moody just kind of set him up for success.
And he just bombed. It was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a surprise to anyone, but I've seen Draymond take clutch shots before, and not surprised on that one in the least. But the 3-point contest, I don't know if they ran out of options and were just picking people at random at that point, but
I think so.
Like, I don't know. I haven't been really engaged in the All-Star break events too much the past couple years. I felt like it just hasn't been that interesting. The dunk contest. Mac McClung, sure. Like, he did cool dunks. Like, I'm not going to knock him for his work, but, like, there wasn't much else beyond him jumping over a car. And
aside from him jumping over the car, I think that was the worst dunk contest I've seen in my life.
You know, I think that I actually wasn't that mad at the dunk contest. I was surprisingly more upset with the 3-point contest, because I didn't know you could butcher a 3-point contest. I didn't know you could do it, and they found a way to do it. Like, we have to say that Tyler Hero is the NBA 3-point champion for the next 365 days.
Yeah.
But one thing I do think that we could say we got out of this is next year we could have one of the greatest dunk contests of all time.
I don't know. We say that, but this kind of leads me up to my next question is, does All-Star Weekend need saving? And if so, how how do we save the All-Star Weekend?
I didn't really hate the format of the teams. I don't know if they should have been drafted by the TNT crew.
Yeah.
I conceptually like that kind of adjustment. It does suck because I heard Draymond on the broadcast saying like, oh, now no one can chase any of those records of most points in a game or, right, and so on. And I understand that complaint, but also like you can still cherish what that was and do something new and interesting, which I think this was. It was new and interesting, and I think it kind of played into the casual nature that it's kind of become, and it's leaned into that and kind of like made it a little bit more engaging with like, oh, it's a quick 40 point game and that's it.
Yeah. That's a great take. I think I like the format. I thought the format was fine. I think my biggest issue was the stoppage in between games. I feel like the stoppage was way too long.
Terrible.
That's sports.
Right. It's like we got like maybe like, was it like 20 minutes of basketball and like a how many hour event? Like,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, we should, Mr. B, somebody who frequently watches the Bay LA podcast, obviously. Bro, you need to not talk as much. That bothered the hell out of me. I was sitting there with my girlfriend as we're watching, and she's like,
she likes basketball because I like basketball. I don't know anything about Mr. Beast. And this guy just kept talking as this kid, a Damian Lillard, tried to shoot. He just wouldn't stop. And it started to get it under my skin. I was like, just stop talking. Just stop talking. Just let him shoot. Let him shoot. He'd be like, hey, man, just visualize the ball going in, man. And I'm like, just let the kid fucking shoot.
Did you guys see Damian Lillard box out Mr. Beast?
Oh, yes. Did he?
Yeah.
Yes. It was crazy.
So let the kid shoot. Let him shoot. And it was cool that he made it. That was a really cool thing to see.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how much money he actually keeps, but congrats.
I liked the format. I just don't like how much time it took in between. You know, like, yeah. I know they wanted to celebrate the TNT guys because it's the last year. I know they wanted to have their big musical thing, but like, I'm not here to see a musical. I'm here to watch my favorite basketball players hoop. You know, like,
yep.
This isn't High School Musical. This is All-Star freaking weekend, man. So,
Brock, what's your take?
All right. I've been thinking about this all day long. And everybody on the internet is like, bring up reserves and bring up G Leagues and have them play and da-da-da-da. Hear me out. And it sounds crazy, but I think it would work. Cancel it for 1 year so they feel shame from everyone. I swear to God. And it would just, it'd be a big shame party of like, your generation did this, you ruined it. And then they would all come back. Like, similar to the 2004 USA men's team. No one wanted to play, right? And they got bronze. And everyone was like, you need that redeem team, need Kobe, need LeBron, need Melo. And they just, they united the Avengers. And they just killed everyone. I would just throw it away. Throw it away. 1 year and watch what happens. I think the anger and embarrassment of all of us would get to them. Because whatever we're doing right now, like, do you notice Wemby was the only one trying? Like, hard as hell.
I loved it, too.
I loved it.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So either do the USA World thing or don't do it.
Love what the NHL is doing right now for their All-Star break, doing the Four Nations tournament. I think that like those games are super competitive and fun to watch.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I might get hammered tomorrow for this USA Canada game. I'm gassed on it. I'm juiced for this game.
I mean, you're putting lines in the sand of nations, so it creates a natural rivalry. Do that.
Yeah.
Do you think that would benefit the NBA All-Star? I know that people were talking about doing U.S. versus foreign. You know, does that like make the stakes higher so that people feel like more pride to try to win?
If Wembanyama's hammer dunking on people, they're gonna get embarrassed real quick.
Yeah, I think that'll bring up the competition or make it more competitive, because there's like, once you bring up like your nation or like where you're from, like there's pride involved.
Yeah. I mean, bro, the starting five
it might run the top eight international players. If it was like, if you had to have eight on squads, like, yeah, we're talking Jokic, Wemby, Giannis, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, Joel Embiid,
Porzingis.
We have a big team.
You know, they got a really big team. Jamal Murray, if he wants
I didn't even
to play.
Say Luka Doncic yet.
Oh yeah, him too.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're top 10. Like, so who are we starting?
Sabonis.
If this was next year, a 41-year-old LeBron James.
Yeah, Steph, LeBron,
Steph Curry,
Anthony Edwards,
Tatum.
Yeah, I think that's a serious, you know, that's a serious conversation right there.
Yeah, the rest of the world has caught up. And you know what's really cool that we're having this conversation? I don't know if you guys have started Court of Gold on Netflix yet.
No, not yet.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. 6 episodes, each episode's an hour long. And they let behind-the-scenes camera guys record a majority of the countries who actually played their practices leading up into the Olympics. So you get the background of, like, Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier and all the guys from Paris, and then SGA and Dylan Brooks and all the and Kelly Olynyk and Norman Powell from Canada. You get all the behind the scenes of the different countries for NBA players we know and how, like, how much it means to them. Serbia, like, it's crazy, bro. It's so good.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really dope. Great watch to go to sleep. Normally I fall asleep to something on Netflix. I went out of my way to turn it off so I didn't miss anything and put another mindless thing on to go to sleep.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
that's how good it was.
That's serious right there.
Also, we confirmed that Steph and KD love each other, and it's totally Draymond.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When he won that MVP, Kevin Durant's, like, going wild.
Yeah.
That was nice. Oh, yeah. And in that documentary, when Evan Fournier's like, we practiced together for years, and then it cuts to KD, and he's like, yeah, is that going to help you guard Steph?
Yeah.
It's like, it's such a bar that lasted so well.
Yeah. The clips I've seen, and a lot of it's like Kevin Durant interviews. Like, Kevin Durant has some bars. And then there's, like, the clips from, like, Jokic and, like, Serbia. Like, they're looking for Steve Kerr to, like, get beer. Yeah, like, bro, go find their coach. He has beer.
Some of these clips from the Court of Gold series, like, just make me. I know how a lot of people may feel or think about Kevin Durant, but you watch Kevin Durant in this thing, it just makes you appreciate him so much.
Yeah,
because, like, he's the greatest Olympic scorer of all time, but you see how much he just genuinely loves to hoop in this, like, about how he just loves basketball. He's just like, people can talk all they want, like, basketball changed my life and, like, made me who I am today. So you could talk about the burners, you could talk about this, you could talk about that. Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm always going to give it my all because, like, how much it, like, gives. I was just chilling shit. You see him tear up. I'm just like, dude, this is fire.
Yeah. Damn. He's one of one. And
yeah, absolutely. So, but boys, the lady just showed up at the dog park. I got to let Remy run for a little bit. I'll let you guys cover the Warrior stuff. But I will, I might do a post game wrap up for the Lakers side of things because I'm very interested in how this game's going to go. So I don't know if anybody's going to be around. Brock, I know it'll be late on your end, but I'm going to put a link, in the group chat and maybe we can hop on a little bit later.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. Well, enjoy. Yeah. Have fun.
Go Lakers. Go Dubs. Good to see you boys. And I'll catch you soon.
Good to see you too. Yeah.
That that world team is ginormous.
Oh yeah. They're tall.
And then you have SGA just silky smooth. He's like
silky smooth and get into the line.
That 2013 MVP Harden.
Ooh.
That's why he's like similar but like somehow smoother. I don't know. He's like Harden and Steph had a baby.
And he's tall too. I think he's like at least 6'6".
Is he?
I think so.
He just seems so little.
Yeah, 6'6".
Oh, yeah. Damn. I like that you sold it. You're like, he's like 6'6".
Yeah.
215. He's a Gemini. He watches Netflix. Oh my gosh, shit.
He's on season 3 episode. Yeah, I'm guessing just ballpark estimate. Yeah,
ballpark.
But yeah, so yeah, the All-Star game, you know, our weekend has came and gone. Now we're at the second half of the season. What do we expect to see? Like, what do we want to see? What do we need to see? What do we think is going to happen in the second half? General, you know, Lakers, Warriors, general NBA stuff.
Wait. So in 2022, Draymond said they were going to win the championship. They won the championship. He said it again.
Said it again.
Steph looked not thrilled that he said it. But everyone's like, yeah, he's a clown. Do you think they'll win it now?
I have very high expectations for the team post Jimmy Butler trade. I don't know if they genuinely have the endurance to win another championship right now. Steph probably looked at Draymond after he said that and he was like, dude, like I have to carry your ass to another fucking finals again. But like having Jimmy Butler, like that helps him win.
Yeah. Because he's gonna turn it up. He gets like 10 more points per game in the playoffs for no apparent reason. I don't know if he doubles his espresso intake or what. Yeah. And if you look at like, okay, say they at least get to like an 8, I don't know, home court play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that. At least they're gonna play the little. You just can't match up with the Nuggets. That's the worst case. If you play any of the little kids, Thunder, Grizzly, Rockets, I think Warriors got that.
Yeah, and just looking at the standings right now, like so the Warriors have won 3 of the last 4 since trading for Jimmy Butler. Ooh. In that Dallas game, that's a whole other topic. That could be a whole other episode if I want to complain about it, but I'm not.
yeah,
but. We're seeing the Jimmy Butler effect in real time, and I'm surprised that it really took no time for them to just like immediately, you know, like for it to flow with him. Like you saw like in the Bulls game, like they're kind of force feeding him early on just to, you know, get him involved, which is fair. But I mean, he looks great as a Warrior, and I was kind of hesitant on Jimmy Butler. And, you know, like, because these rumors were going on for a while now, and I was kind of hesitant at first, but then now actually seeing it happen, I'm like, this is great. And I want to shout out Roman, because Roman was a day one believer in Jimmy Butler with the Warriors, and he's right.
I mean, you guys are, it's the culture, right? Like, I guess Heat culture, whatever, that's their slogan. But like you like we've seen it so many times. Like Iguodala came, just fit right in. Like so many people come to Steph and Draymond and Clay at the time, and they just like KD is a perfect example.
Right?
Is it gonna work? Yeah. Is it gonna work? Obviously, it's going to work. And this is the same thing. They're just all old dogs now, and they all want to do it one more time. So like, I think they're dangerous now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think regardless if they have to start in the play-in or if they get into an actual playoff spot, which yeah, there's potential. If they're gonna win at this rate with Jimmy Butler, then yeah, they could claw their way up, because I look at the Kings right ahead of them. I think the Kings are about to hit a major free fall. The Mavericks, I mean, yeah, they're a good team. Without AD for however long he's going to be out, I mean, they're beatable. And I am not going to start talking about that last Mavericks game against the Warriors. Cannot talk about it. The Timberwolves, I mean, they always give the Warriors trouble. I mean, talk about a guy who just goes online 150% against the Warriors. Najee Marshall just wants to score 30 points every time he plays the Warriors. And he just almost does.
He does, yeah.
The Clippers. I mean, I can't believe I'm seeing them in the sixth spot anyway. But like, dude, do I think they're a genuine threat? Do I think that they belong in the sixth spot? Absolutely not. I don't know.
James Harden cannot beat Steph Curry. It's just
it's
one of those things.
Written in stone.
Somebody went home and prayed with his wife and family, and the other man threw dollars at strip clubs, and it's just it's just karma out the wazoo. My concern for y'all is only it's really real small ball. Like
it is.
No one is over 6'9" except Quentin Post.
And we're seeing Quentin Post kind of just get thrown into the fire.
Yeah, like, he's your Alex Len. Just like, get in there, dude. You're big and happy. Yeah.
But he could make a three.
Yeah, he's spreading the floor. It's happening.
Yeah, so I'm not mad at the Quentin Post minutes at all. I may go as far as to say I encourage them. I think once he gets his like defensive presence established, like if, you know, becomes like a, once you start playing defense, you know, I'm like, then it's going to be real good. But right now it's just, you know, rookie season, can't expect too much, but I think he's playing well in the minutes that he's getting.
Yeah, it's just nice to have that kind of scoring threat at the five for them.
Totally.
I think it's something that we've been dreaming of on the Warriors roster for so long, and being able to see this finally kind of happen with, yeah, I mean, the small sample size, it's still rewarding to know, like, this is what we've been dreaming of and wanting for so long. And yeah, they're finally okay. Getting it.
Shout out James Wiseman.
Oh, man.
It's not the Mavericks game. It's not the Mavericks.
It's a whole other wound you just picked out.
But, you know, speaking of the Mavericks, I feel like the Mavericks could use the services of a James Wiseman.
That's fair.
If he's healthy.
What happened to all the big people in the NBA? Why are there no...
I think they all got hurt.
It's just Team Euro.
Yeah, it's like, unless you're Jokic or Wembanyama, it's like, you're hurt. You're on IR.
I don't know. I feel like Jokic has the same Jimmy Butler. Like, even though he's good all year, when the playoffs come, he's just unstoppable. Yeah, dad basketball. Dad driveway basketball.
Like, just when he starts trying.
His feet never leave the floor. He keeps himself safe.
He reminds
No elevation. He doesn't risk any injury of falling down, twisting an ankle, nothing.
In the 2000s, we had to watch Peyton Manning, and he would run that clock to 1 second before every play, and it drove me fucking crazy. But it's the smart right thing to do, and that's like Jokic in basketball. He just like bleeds the shot clock, throws up a shot at 1 second, it goes in, and you're just like, God damn!
What can you do about it?
I cannot stand watching this, but it's like art. You have to like appreciate. You appreciate it once they're gone. You're like, oh,
yeah. I respect it, and he's probably on his way to potentially another MVP season. I know SGA, I think he's probably the front runner right now, and this might be his year. But I think Jokic is definitely in that conversation again.
Yeah.
But looking at the Warriors' upcoming schedule, I'll pull that up real quick. I know they play tomorrow. Not tomorrow, sorry. Friday.
Is it the Mavericks?
No.
No, that's Sunday.
Oh, God.
So we got the Kings on Friday in Sacramento. And then the Dallas Mavericks coming to town Sunday. I think that's going to be Andre Iguodala jersey retirement day.
Okay.
So that should be nice. A little 12:30 p.m. tip off.
I love that you know it's Andre Iguodala jersey retirement day.
Oh, of course. I have to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Finals MVP. Sacramento the closest rival?
Like proximity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why isn't that like a thing? It's the same thing as James Harden, Steph Curry. It's just written in stone. Never mind. Yeah, there's.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole like older brother, little brother, kind of like
exactly
just that type of dominance that the
light the beam
Warriors have had on the Kings and the Blazers as well.
Yeah.
Like it's just been sorry you ran into us again.
Poor though.
Yeah, and then the Kings, they kind of had something going on with like De'Aaron Fox, like the last couple of seasons when they matched up against the Warriors, like those games were like probably 50-50. It seems maybe the Kings have finally figured out how to beat Big Brother, but then just seeing them trade De'Aaron Fox and they're just having an interesting season. I think the game on Friday is actually a pretty big game since both teams have the same record. They're both 28 and 27.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this means a lot for the standings and tiebreakers. But just looking at the upcoming schedule as a whole, it's looking pretty forgiving as opposed to the Lakers one. So yeah, we got the Kings, you got the Mavericks, play the Hornets, you play the Magic, who the Magic, they're a good team. I'm not going to say that's a easy win.
Okay? Oh, yeah, they're dangerous.
They're dangerous. 76ers, I don't know what to think of them at all. I like Tyrese Maxey. They did sign Lonnie Walker to a guaranteed deal.
Oh.
So that's cool. That's cool for them. Then got the Hornets again.
It feels like if you're going to bet the Warriors, do it now before they rip off 10 in a row and everyone gets on board.
Yeah, I agree. And I know we said this in January when they had a forgiving schedule and then they lost like 10 in a row. But this time it feels different because
Jimmy Butler,
Jonathan Kuminga is on his way.
Oh, man.
And
Jonathan Kuminga is either 22 years old or 40. I have no. He's been on his way for my entire life.
He's on his way off the injury list.
Yeah, we're gonna start there.
He is the most on.
What
his,
happens after this season way. Happens, but to see, I'm curious to see how this team looks once you implement Jonathan Kuminga because. I'm assuming he's probably going to come off the bench, especially like first game back. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Friday or Sunday, but he'll be back soon. Yeah, I think Kuminga will supply some coming off the bench. He'll supply some needed firepower off the bench. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's
the same starting lineup.
He's probably going to join them for the this stretched out road trip into early March, and yeah, he might show up for one of those games.
So yeah, that's exciting. Especially Jimmy Butler made some comments saying how he wants to be like a mentor for him and kind of take him under his wing. So I think that's really cool to see, and it's cool to see Jimmy Butler just kind of be that guy so new to the team. He's already kind of like. Oh yeah, I'm down to teach the young guys the ropes, like how I do it my way.
Yeah, so Kuminga's going to be learning from Draymond and Jimmy Butler. Great.
It's going to be awesome.
Perfect.
In a contract year.
Have fun. I created a monster. Oh god.
Starts getting teed up all the time. Yeah. You know, it was bothering me. I was like, who does he remind me of on the war? Not how he plays, but Harrison Barnes was a number 7 pick, right? I believe Kuminga is too.
Yeah.
And they gave Harrison Barnes this like window and it just kept going and going and going. And then finally they were like, oh, we won. Yeah, get out. You're done. And yeah. That's who Kuminga feels like. Like, you have it, man. Just like do it. Maybe that's what Jimmy Butler will finally be. Just shove him. Like, yeah. We need you now, man.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Get that Kawhi Spurs level. Like, it's your time.
And if they want to. Think about winning a championship, they need Jonathan Kuminga to be playing at the highest level he's probably ever played at.
Yeah.
As with, you know, the whole team, like you say the same thing for Moses Moody, Brandon Pajemski, like it's going to take everybody. Like it can't just be like Steph, Dre and Jimmy just like carrying the load. Like they can only do so much game in, game out. Like you'll have some games where they do, but everyone needs to chip in.
Yeah. They're plus 4,000 right now.
Got 5 on it.
Yeah, that's a got 5 on it. I got you. I think I'm gonna do it with my last $10 in my DraftKings Warriors.
Use our promo code BALA for.
Use the BALA. Don't tell the LA guy. I don't believe in your smaller team than the Warriors, but maybe we'll get the dream Western Conference Finals of the Bay Area podcast. Crazy.
Oh man,
that would be so. It's not impossible. I think it's just improbable.
We'd have to do a live event for the whole series.
Yeah. Just never go off.
Jonathan Kuminga has got 4 techs. Stop, Sean.
4 texts in 4 minutes.
Okay, I have to go upstairs now, but thank you for letting me be part of the Bay LA podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Welcome. Always back, a pleasure.
Yeah, Warriors plus 4,000. I feel like the Lakers are favored because they're impossibly the 4 or 5 seed right now. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's
whatever they are.
They got to keep winning if they want to stay there because it's about to get dicey.
Yeah, they're not better than the Warriors. I don't see it. But
I think we're gonna see a lot of movement in the standings this month or this coming month.
It just all flips. And where is? Oh no, they're still there. Okay, don't mind me. We'll be back. Spurs, one seed.
I was gonna say where's next San Antonio?
They're coming.
They're on the way. They're on their way.
Chris Paul is teaching De'Aaron Fox and Stephon Castle. By the way, his dunk wasn't bad.
He was good.
Oh yeah.
He tried at least. He tried. The other dude, not so much.
Matas.
Yeah. Matas. Matas.
Peace.
See you, Brock. But yeah. second half of the season. I think it's kind of gonna be a sprint to the finish line.
It always is with the West, but especially because all the trades that have happened, like there's so much change and turnover that's going on that this how it stands right now is going to be completely adjusted. And
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I feel like this has been the most like overhaul that I feel like I've seen at a trade deadline. Like usually this is this type of stuff you'd see in free agency almost.
Right.
But this was all trade deadline. All these major names getting traded around. Like I would have never, ever expected De'Aaron Fox to be off the Kings. Luka, I thought he was a Maverick for life. There's so much overhaul that's happened that there's going to be a recalibration of these standings. And fully leaning into the bias, the Warriors are absolutely going to jump up the standings. Like,
I think
especially
so too,
with Kuminga coming back, like all we talked about of what he can bring to this team. I think he is going to bring it. I think the presence of Jimmy Butler, not even Jimmy Butler being in his ear, but just Jimmy Butler being in the room, on the team, in the roster, like that's got to be motivation for Kuminga to be like, I need to show up even more now. Like, this team is hard committing to the right now win mentality. Kuminga's kind of the last like major cornerstone of this young talent that the Warriors have kind of curated. Like Pods, okay, Moody, okay. Like those are definitely pieces, but Kuminga's the still prize jewel. Because now that Wiggins is gone, and I'm not to say that he was very young, but like Wiggins was kind of part of that transitionary period that the Warriors.
He was like the bridge player between like the Steph, Draymond guys and the youngsters, and he's kind of right in the middle, like age wise too.
Yeah, but now you know no more Poole, and no more Wiggins. It's like, all right, Kuminga, you are like this unlocking mechanism for us to really like keep our longevity here and being competitive and a good team.
Right. Just kind of like, just like what Brock was saying, like can Kuminga be that Kawhi Leonard, like how Kawhi was for the Spurs with Duncan and Parker and Ginobili, like that could be Kuminga for Steph, Draymond and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
so it's pretty exciting time to be a Warrior fan right now. Like, like we're one game over 500 right now, but just looking at what's ahead and Jonathan Kuminga coming back, like all these things that are happening right now, Jimmy Butler on the team, like contributing at a high level, looking like Jimmy Butler. Yeah, it kind of feels like the Warriors are in prime position to make a serious run through the West right now. And I'd love to see them just break out of the play-in tournament. Like, get yourselves into the playoffs. If they end up as an 8 seed or 7 seed, cool, whatever. But
yeah,
I'd love to see them, like, I think they could finish in the top 6.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, yeah, Brock said it earlier, Thunder, Grizzlies, Rockets, like the kiddos of the league, like they might be the 1, 2, and 4 seed, but I take the Warriors against any of those teams in a 7-game series.
Totally. I agree. And I feel like we've seen, like, against the Thunder, like the Thunder Warriors matchups this season. I think the one game where they really, the Thunder really punked the Warriors was a game where I think the Warriors had a bunch of guys out.
Yeah.
And then we played them again without Chet Holmgren. Warriors got a win. And then the first game, Chet Holmgren only played like a few minutes before getting hurt.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, it's the same team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus, if Chet is back by the time the Warriors may or may not see the Thunder in a playoff series, we have Quentin Post to match that length and size almost.
Yeah. And we got Jimmy Butler, man. Like, I just couldn't imagine being like, I don't know, like the Houston Rockets, for example. That's a feisty young team right there. And they're a very good team at that.
Yeah.
But just seeing any of those guys, you know, like Dylan Brooks trying to bark at Draymond Green, and then you got Jimmy Butler coming up behind him. Like,
yeah,
that's just
like you
dogs.
Yeah, you do not want to start scrapping with those guys. And especially in a series, man. If Rockets Warriors, if we get a series somehow.
Ooh, that's box office.
That'll do record numbers. I promise you, that'll be such a good series. It might even be a little reminiscent of the Warriors Kings series we had some years ago, where it was just back and forth, and there was chatter, and there was a whole lot of drama with Draymond and Sabonis, and all of that went on. Like it could be something.
Involved.
Oh yeah, just everything you could ask for from entertainment standpoint. So yeah. That would be a great way to even start off the playoff run is to just go right through Houston like that. Oh man, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I feel like it's been a while since we've been able to say that too as Warrior fans. Like I feel
I know it's one game like, over 500. Oh, like,
and they sneak in. But now it's like I feel confident saying like, yeah, they could make a run.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, they finally made the trade for, like, a star player, and they have the talent.
They did a trade.
Now, I'm just going to ask you this once.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about the Mavericks game?
Yeah, dude, let's talk about it.
So can you, Casey Benz, describe to me what a kicked ball is?
When, the ball is kicked by somebody and, you know, it's a turnover or it's a foul of some sort.
So
somehow that was missed.
So did you not see a kicked ball during the game against the Mavericks?
I put money on it that, you know, that ball was kicked. I feel pretty confident.
The camera showed 99% of his foot and the ball bouncing the other way after it got close to his said foot, which was lifted off the floor at the time. I don't.
That's bad. And I believe, bro, wasn't there also like refs. There's like a phantom 8-second violation called against the Warriors.
Oh yeah. The refs pulled every move possible that game.
They really did. And I want to get the guy's name right.
It was a competitive game, but the refs got so involved and made too many bad calls in the clutch that just threw every opportunity the Warriors had to take over.
Just and they just lost control of the game completely. And once they started getting too involved, like it just ruins the game, even from like an entertainment standpoint. Like,
yeah,
not even speaking as like a Warrior fan, but like as a basketball fan, it's like it's hard to watch. And then that Jimmy Butler, the foul that Kyrie Irving taking the charge.
Oh,
that's pretty questionable. Like, I think every camera angle tells a different story.
Yeah, like my eye test said that was a good.
Yeah,
good charge. Like Kyrie made the perfect defensive play at the perfect moment. Like it looked clean to me. That was the one thing where I was like, that's clean. That's okay. I can accept this call. Pretty much every other involvement from the refs before that and past that, I was like, dude, get these guys out of here. Like just I almost put a hole through my desk with my fist. I was so worked up and pissed off because I felt like what my eyes were seeing was not what the refs were seeing. So I was thinking I was crazy, that I wasn't seeing the game correctly.
Right.
But
it's just so regardless. Frustrating. And then
Anthony
Irving was just unstoppable that night. James Williams is that referee, the referee's name, or the crew chief of that night. And yeah, he just lost control of it. Like, it's just like, come on, dude. Like, how does this happen?
Yeah.
But other than that though, the Jimmy Butler era has been off to a perfect start. I think that game is like the one loss in the four game stretch we've seen with Butler with the Warriors. Like, that deserves an asterisk next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to check out the final 2 minute report from that game. I don't really care to check it out. Like, you know, what's done is done.
Every time I've looked at that report to see if anything was going to get changed, I'm like, it doesn't matter now.
No, exactly.
I don't want your sorries now.
Yeah.
I don't care. Oops, sorry.
I think just them releasing the 2 minute report, it's just, I don't know, like, it doesn't do anyone any favors. Like, does it make people's feelings feel more justified? Maybe, but like, that shouldn't be what it's there for.
I don't need you to justify how I feel. You fucked up.
Exactly. Like, just take responsibility. Maybe that's them trying to take responsibility, but it's like, it's done. It's over. Like, it's in the record books.
Yeah, it's already a loss for the Warriors, bro. Yeah, whatever.
And that was kind of a big loss, too, because I think that was like a tiebreaker game, but...
Oh, really, was it?
I think so. Shoot. I think they play one more time this season. Yeah, so they'll play one more time.
But I think... Hey, as long as they split, I don't really care.
So that'll be a big game, too, on a Sunday early afternoon.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'll be watching that game.
Yeah, same here. It'll be a fun one. I mean, especially, you know, it's always fun seeing them go up against Clay and Kyrie. Like,
oh, yeah. What a guard combo.
Seriously, like, those guys. I mean, Kyrie Irving is just such an amazing, amazing talent. Like,
oh yeah, he went nuclear in that game. He just did so much at the end.
He third really
quarter
did.
Yep. Just absolutely lit them up.
Couldn't be stopped. And I know like everyone is still up in arms about the whole Luka trade, but it's like, I think people forget like they still got Kyrie Irving. Like, it's not like they don't have a guard. It's like
like
the future guard, like maybe one of the best NBA players right now, but you still have a very, very amazing proven NBA champion level point guard in Kyrie Irving. So
yeah,
there's a silver lining in there, I guess.
Well, they'll see it eventually, maybe when Anthony Davis comes back.
Yeah, exactly. It's a shame that he got hurt like the first game as a Maverick, and he was playing good too up until his injury. Like,
yeah,
I feel for those Dallas fans, because I don't know, it's very reminiscent of like what the Oakland A's have done to their fans. Like, here's this great player that you can all rally around and we all like him, and everyone, you know, everyone's all in on this player, and he's gone.
And we traded him away for nothing, or he left free agency.
Exactly. It got like no draft picks out of it. Like,
yeah,
it's very interesting.
Yeah, that'll be a very closely watched in the future. Like, what was the true outcome of that trade? Like, what would it all amount to for both teams? So,
and we'll be waiting for that for a while now, because Luka's only like 25.
Yeah, he's young. Well, yeah, when Luka's Lakers meets Poole's Wizards in the finals
here we go.
2030.
Let's book it. I mean, if he's got to get past Wemby Spurs, like, that's going to be...
Yeah, oh, man.
I think true. They got a... That's a budding dynasty ready to happen. Like, I think Stephon Castle, that was like an A-plus pick.
He's so good.
So good. You got De'Aaron Fox, who's still young.
Yeah, I can't... Like, yeah, they are so primed and ready. And here's probably fucking old Greg Popovich like, can I retire yet? Like, can I
leave? One more, Greg. One more dynasty.
Just one more dynasty, that's all. We could squeeze three out of you. That'll be good.
I'm surprised that they don't have like a Padawan in place for the next coaching job. I thought that was going to be Becky Hammon.
Yeah.
But she went on to coach in the WNBA.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be involved a little bit more long term, but yeah.
Time will tell.
Whoa.
But yeah, I think that's. Should we wrap things up here?
Yeah.
Anything else we want to talk about?
Let's see. The Bucks are the 5 seed. That's it. Bucks watch. The Bucks Pacers are up to 4.
That's surprising to me because like I see the Pacers on paper and like I watch some Pacers games and I'm like, this doesn't look like a very good basketball team.
If you have the standings open, close out of the window really quick. Just don't look at anything else.
For sure.
Can you tell me how many wins the Wizards have right now?
Oh God. 15.
They have a grand total single digit number of 9.
That's terrible.
You may have guessed their season total wins that they'll have at the end of the year. But
yeah, we'll do this again at the end of the season. 9-45. Oh my God.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that.
I don't think anyone wants to.
I mean, I guess there's not much to talk about, but like, wow, Kyle Kuzma got traded and was like, all right, now he's going to be playing in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think that was actually a really good pick a really good move by the Bucks.
I think so too. And as much as like we like to clown on Kyle Kuzma for having kind of bad season, he is a good basketball player. Like,
yeah,
he just does funny stuff on the court sometimes.
Yeah, I think it might have been the Jordan Poole aura of like, oh, I have to dribble the ball off my foot a few times.
Right, and just like shoot like a heat check three for like absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
And just barely tick iron, but it's all good. Like Kyle Kuzma, he's got a ring and he's played with like LeBron and, you know, he knows what it takes to get there.
Yeah.
And he's younger and yeah, it sucks to see a guy like Chris Middleton who probably meant a lot to that team go, but hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, especially like in the East where it's kind of like everybody versus the Cavaliers at this point.
Yeah, I think people have kind of pivoted away from Boston being this like all dominant threat.
Yeah, you know, I'm not super sold on Boston. Maybe you know, they prove me wrong in the playoffs, but like I look at the Cavaliers and I just think that team is just a lot better.
I liken the Celtics right now as very similar to what the mid-2010s Rockets were.
Okay.
Just shoot threes nonstop. Yeah. Just only run that system. And I think that in these playoffs, this is going to be a hot take. I think they're going to get bounced very early. I don't think they make Eastern Conference Finals.
Whoa, I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah.
I think they can easily get punked by a just more well-rounded team.
Because if Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown are off for a series.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's enough firepower for them to like beat Milwaukee or I mean, you know, if they play the Cavaliers in a series, like, it, I mean, they just added DeAndre Hunter. Like, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I like, yeah. The Cavs are easily the top of the class.
And then do you have the standings open? Because I have a question to ask you. Okay.
I do. What? I can close it.
What place are the Detroit Pistons in right now?
I feel like they ended pretty hot at before the All-Star break.
They sure did. Or at least it seems like. Yeah, I don't know. They did. They ended on a 4-game win streak.
Okay. And in the East, that's like jumping up multiple positions.
Oh, yeah. You might. You're knocking on the door.
They've got to be out of the play-in.
They are. They are barely out of the play-in. They're at the sixth spot, but they got the same amount of wins as the Bucks at 29.
Oh, really?
Yep. Like,
wow.
Detroit Pistons, that is a team that, like, I think they're here. Like, them and the Magic, I feel like in recent history, we've kind of, you know, they've been, like, the relegation teams.
Yeah.
But I think they've paid their dues in the draft and have done really well developing star talent like Cade Cunningham, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner.
Yeah. And
just got good young pieces around them too, like Anthony Black for the Magic. He's been contributing a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Stewart for the Pistons is their junkyard dog. Like, they just, the Pistons just play like this brand of basketball that's like super physical and like,
yeah,
you know, kind of. Yeah, I wasn't alive to watch the Bad Boys Pistons, but like seeing like the 30 for 30, like that was, you know, nothing's ever, we're not going to see basketball played like that again, but
yeah,
they kind of have like that attitude.
Yeah, there's a certain toughness that they carry with themselves. And even for like a young team, it's surprising to see, but it's very cool. And yeah, I'm glad that they're finally having success finally. And yeah, same with the Magic. Cause yeah, in the recent history, they've been kind of just like just brush that team off. Like,
right.
That's like, just another free win to stop at on the road trip. So yeah, I'm excited that there are those kind of up and coming teams that have been developing, and maybe we'll see such a jump from the Spurs next year, but
I think we will. We'll, I think we might see, I think they might even threaten to like get into the play-in tournament this year. I know we're kind of running out of games now, but like, I don't think, like, Wemby is just such an ultra competitor that I don't think that they'll just throw away the season.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he's going to be pushing every single game. And yeah. I think Fox will be too. I think he's going to be entirely engaged. Cause yeah, I doubt he wants to miss a playoff. So
no, especially cause like when he, you know, the Kings had just started becoming like a threat in the West, like, and then they kind of have this off season this season and Fox wants out, like there's some, you know, whatever happened, but he just got into like winning ways with the Kings and then go back into losing ways. I don't think he wants to be back on like a losing team. I think he definitely picked the Spurs because he sees the vision and he knows that they're gonna be right back up there. Like,
yeah.
Just got to trust the process. Speaking of which, the 76ers are out of the play-in picture. They're 2 games behind the Bulls at 20 and 34, 11th place.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
There's nothing left of that process now.
Process, like, is over.
It came, it went, and went. It's going to be a disappointment on the history books of like what could have been with that Spurs or the Sixers team.
Yeah, but I agree.
I mean, injuries happen and drama happens. Like, it's,
and that'll do it.
Yeah.
Usually, like, one of those things is enough to derail a team or a franchise, but having both of those things multiple seasons, like, yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough, but they'll go through another process.
Yeah, exactly. They got some good young talent there. Tyrese Maxey, you mentioned earlier, very good player. Jared McCain, their rookie.
Yeah. He's
really good. So, yeah. When one process ends, another begins. So I guess we keep on waiting. I mean, they're fine over there in Philadelphia. They just won the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, they're satisfied.
Yeah, they don't really care.
No, whatever. What a whatever Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. As Niner fans, this was kind of like a nightmare matchup. But also as a Niner fan, watching the Chiefs just get the brakes beaten off of them was like kind of satisfying.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well.
There's always next year.
There's always next year. There's always next year.
Is that going to do it for us?
As far as basketball goes. What was that?
Is that going to do it for us?
I think so. I think that's going to do it for us for today's episode. Thank you all for tuning in and watching as always. We appreciate your continued support. And as always, if you guys could just give us, you know, a like, comment, subscribe, whatever. Just we love to talk hoops, and we love to talk hoops with all of you. And as always, thank you very much and take care.